Hi, everybody. This is Amber.
This is Valerie.
And you have made it to episode three, sir, of CosPod, a podcast for all things cosplay.
Thank you guys for sticking with us for so long.
I keep forgetting there's 2 weeks between episodes. So
yeah, it's been a month already.
It's been a little bit longer since we've been prepping this stuff. But it's been a good slog. It has been a good slog. And it's worth it.
It's been good. It's been a good run so far.
I am learning much. I am less ignorant than I was.
So let's get this thing rolling.
Let's start off with some news. We've got a few updates to our website. We have two new segments up. One is a craft foam segment for our material section, and the other is a book review on the complete photo guide to sewing in our book review section. You can find both of those on our podcast page.
Yep.
And I believe we have a convention update.
Yeah, we're going to have two convention updates since episode 3 will be releasing while I am at NakaCon. If you all happen to be there, feel free to come up and say hi to me. I will be judging the cosplay contest. You cannot miss me. I'll more than likely be wearing a villainous costume, so don't be too surprised, but I promise I'll be really nice. And I'll have my I'll have my recording equipment with me, so if you want to stop by for a quick interview, if you want to have a chat, feel free to come up.
I'm waving at you as you're on vacation.
My sad 2-day vacation.
Well, at least you get to have fun on your vacation. I will be out of town as well, but I will be working.
But working for money, freaking work.
It is also fun, to be fair. It is also fun. But yes, it is work nonetheless. Also, after this episode drops very shortly, we will be at Mini-A-Con.
Yep.
That is in Denton, Texas, February 18th. We will be there with podcasting equipment, possibly cosplays, and hopefully a lot of fun. It will be, I think it starts at 10 a.m.? I want to say it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So
sounds about right.
I don't know if I'll be there the entire time. 7 hours is a really long time.
Especially since it's a 45-minute drive out there.
Well, that's actually not too bad. Those are my old stomping grounds since I went to college up there.
Well, there you go.
But, it should hopefully be a lot of fun. ACON has already announced several guests they're going to have there, and they've also put up their schedule on their website, acon.com.
And I think they are having a mini cosplay contest too, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. It's actually at 4 o'clock on the schedule, so later in the afternoon. I've already seen a few people that are going to be cosplaying up there.
Yeah, so we'll
mostly
definitely take some notes and record it.
Yes. There are always Axis Powers cosplayers no matter where you go,
exactly.
Like there's no snow and bleach. No offense meant.
Of course not.
They're there. All right, we have had somebody submit a cost philosophy segment to us. The topic is most rewarding part of cosplay. That's a really big question.
It's a very open-ended question. Because it can go any direction.
And I'm going to make you go first.
Oh, thanks. Gee, wow. Aren't I special?
You're better at these answer-off-the-cuff sort of things. I need time to think before I speak.
This is why I will always be answering all of the questions first.
Yes.
Let's see. It's hard to really say, because it depends on the situation and the circumstances, because I find... Okay, one of my things with cosplay is I like to give myself new challenges with each costume. I like to try out new things or make something that I haven't done before. And so for me, it's learning new techniques with each costume and just becoming a better cosplayer and a stronger sewer. But that's mostly on the sewing side, because then there's another part of me that's focused on the competition side. And then I need to learn, you know, what's the best way of making this costume? What do I need to do to stand out? What do I need to do to impress the judges? So then you have that portion, which could also be equally as rewarding. And then you have the social aspects of it, because then you get to meet new people, go out to get to see new things, get to talk to lots of individuals, and that can be just as rewarding too. I mean, it's hard for me to narrow down what the most rewarding part of it is. Because... and you're sitting there
laughing at me.
I totally
understand. It's a really big question.
because there's moments where, like, little kids will come up to me and tell me I look like a princess, and that makes my day, and that can be extremely rewarding. And then I have moments where I'm up on stage receiving a reward for my work, and that's just equally as rewarding. So, I mean, there is no one aspect that I can think is the most rewarding part of it. I think, in essence, all of cosplay is equally rewarding in their own respect, if that kind of makes sense.
So cosplay itself is the most rewarding part of cosplay.
There you go. The fact that I can do the hobby. There
this is philosophy. You are allowed to make sophist arguments.
There you go.
Cookies for anybody who got the reference. I have never said I am not a nerd.
We have to be nerds. This is part of the business.
Totally nuts, yes.
So now it's your turn. You have to answer.
Okay, I will admit the most rewarding part of cosplay is the attention.
See? We're all attention whores.
I'm not quite an attention whore. A little bit goes a long way. It only takes... It's kind of like you don't have to have a whole chocolate bar to be happy. You can just have, you know, a couple of bites and you're good.
You can have the little piece of Hershey's.
Yeah. But I do admit, I enjoy learning new things. You know, I love working with my hands. Reverse engineering is one of the things I'm good at, and I find cosplay extraordinarily relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
But the most rewarding part for me is to be able to bring those characters to life, be recognized by the people who are looking for those characters, and having them appreciate the work I've put into it. I don't have to win awards, you know. Heaven knows, I would love to, but that's not necessary. I just like the recognition of, hey, you're blank, I know who you are because you did a good enough job to bring the character across. So, yeah, the attention. I admit it. I'm a little ashamed because they always tell you that, you know, you shouldn't necessarily do it for the attention. You should do it for love of the hobby.
Well, but
yes, and on paper that's good. But at the same time, I am human, and I admit that I kind of like the attention.
So here's the thing: part of what cosplay is, and no one really likes to admit to it, but it's part of the whole thing, is that we're doing this for the attention. We're gonna stand out. I mean, people don't have bright blue and orange and pink spiky hair and a giant-ass sword that's 10 feet long every single day. We're going to get attention. And we do
Speaking
it
of which,
a little bit of attention.
Just as a side tangent, if you ever end up going to a convention that takes place on a work day on a Friday, you can always go to a public transportation and see a bunch of cosplayers riding the tram or the subway and such, and all the mundane people just kind of look at you ways like, do they wear that every day? is this their line of work? What sort of job do you do?
So I have
or
to say,
or they'll look at you with a very confused look, and they'll say,
yeah.
Is there some sort of event in town?
That's exactly why I have the pink wig on.
I'm just so to tell them, yes, dress like this every day at my job.
The only time it was normal for me is when I went to WonderCon last year in San Francisco. No weird looks. They were just like, oh, that's cool. It's like the one time I could get away with it.
Because, of course, I live, you know, in the Dallas area, and so they should be used to it by now, with us having all sorts of conventions in the area. You know, video game conventions, comic conventions. It's all over the news. It's all over, you know, in the papers and such. But I still get these really weird looks. And in a way, that is kind of rewarding to get the strange looks. At least it means that they're recognizing that it's something out of the ordinary. It's something very unique. And at the same time, I feel like I'm some sort of, like, weirdo, you know, dressing up in this blue wig and these costumes on public transportation with all these next to these people in their suit as they're going to their normal desk job every day.
But weirdo in a good way.
Yes. Well, that's what my coworkers tell me.
There you go.
That they've seen pictures of me. All right, well, stories aside, we have actually had somebody submit something for our Q&A.
Yep.
Yay! I'm so happy.
We got reader feedback. Woohoo!
Well, the most rewarding part of a podcast is to get feedback, is to get people to participate. Not just cosplay, podcasting in general.
Right.
So, yes, please participate. Please email us. Even if it's hate mail, I'll take that too. I'll please let less on the hate mail.
Send her the hate mail. Don't send it to me.
I'm the one who opens them all anyway. But we were asked to talk a little about the purpose of this podcast
mm-hmm.
and what we hope to achieve.
Right. And I say, you should probably start
so I guess
first
technically this is going to say, I can't send this to you first.
Because this was your brainchild, so you have to go first.
Yes, well, last year in July, I ended up looking for various podcasts to help increase my cosplay ability, my techniques using different materials. Trying to find people who did this for a living to talk about it and kind of help me get a better grasp on what cosplay is.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't any. And it completely shocked me because I did pretty thorough searches to find some sort of podcast, audio or video, didn't really matter, on crafting, on theater, on some sort of thing that would make me a better cosplayer, and there wasn't anything. So, of course, what do you do if something does not exist? You bring it into existence. And while I am not the best person in the world to stick in front of a camera because I'm extraordinarily camera shy, I really don't like being in front of things. I actually prefer to be like the power behind the throne. But I went ahead and started getting things together to start Cospod. And Cospod was actually the very first name I came up with for it, and I haven't turned back from it ever since. And what I hoped to do was to make cosplay more available for the masses, which is to say, people who want to get into the hobby, we want to make it easy for them to get into the hobby. For people who are more advanced, we hope to bring in advanced experts to help them also advance. So this really is the cosplay podcast for everyone. It is family-friendly. We only allow family-friendly gallery pictures and videos and that sort of thing. But I want to show people all the different materials you can use, because cosplay, if you think about it, has made some really massive advances in the last even 3 years of different synthetics mm-hmm. that we can now use for armor making, for fibers and wigs, for making various prop weapons, for even in terms of fabrics that don't wrinkle anymore, and some of them you may or may not even have to wash. I mean, it's really cool.
I love those fabrics.
It's really cool, and I want to bring some of those to people and show them off and say, look, there's all these different things you can use, and to go with it, here's a bunch of different techniques that people have perfected over many, many years of trial and error, because there is both trial and error in cosplay, and show them how to use these materials and bring in people who have been doing it for years to say, you know, how have you done it? How did you learn to do it,
mm-hmm.
how can we help other people learn how to do it? Because, you know, as cosplayers, yeah, in a way, we kind of want to be better than everybody else. We want to win prizes. We want the attention. We want to be the best that we can be at our hobby. But at the same time, you kind of feel a kinship with other cosplayers, and you want to help them be able to be their best, too, and help them do it.
I have to stop you.
Okay.
Pokemon is now playing in my head and I cannot get it out.
I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
How dare
not,
you?
No. I no. I was going to sing it and now I won't.
Oh man. But that's really how it is though.
yes, that really how it is, and you want to help everybody else, you know, excel at their cosplay as well, because
nice word
it helps
save.
Us all. Yeah, I tried for that one. I had to reach for that one. I thought before I spoke.
So we're going to move away from the Pokemon theme real quick.
So let's please move away from the Pokemon, because I'm going to get that stuck in my head now, too.
Bias tape is a tool that every cosplayer should have in their arsenal. It is a strip of fabric cut along the bias so that it has a tiny bit of stretch. It can be used as a trim or for embellishments on large patterns. This tutorial will show you how to make the tape without having to buy it or use the expensive tools. To determine how much bias tape to make, use the formula listed on the screen. The materials that you will need are your fabric, and any type of fabric will work, tailor's chalk or pen, a ruler, scissors, iron, needle, and thread. The first step is to iron out your fabric, and you'll find that you're going to be doing this quite a few times throughout the process. Next step is to fold your fabric diagonally. Now you can do this either right side or wrong side up, it doesn't matter at this stage. We're going to be cutting at an angle because that's what's going to give it the most stretch for your strips. Now measure and mark out your lines. For bias tape that's half an inch, you want to make the markings 2 inches wide. You'll be doing some folding later on, so there's a reason why we're making the strips so large. And as you can see, it's easier to use a straight edge ruler instead of measuring tape to make those lines very even. After that, you cut out the lines you've just created. Now take one side of each strip that you've just cut and square it off. You want to snip away that little diagonal piece so it looks like a square edge. We're going to move to the sewing machine now. Overlap two of the strips wrong side up and align the raw edges at a right angle. We're going to stitch these together at a diagonal angle from top left to bottom right. Once done, snip off the excess thread and trim the extra fabric. When you open it up, you'll notice the fabric looks like one long strip. We're going back to the ironing board. This time the fabric is going to be right side up. Fold it lengthwise, wrong sides together, and press it with your iron. Be careful as you're doing this and take your time. You don't want to burn yourself. Once you get a small portion of your initial fold ironed, it's pretty easy to get the rest of the fabric to follow. Open up the fabric, wrong sides facing up. You're going to take the edges and fold them inward to that crease you see in the center. Again, you want to take your time and press the edges inward. Once done with this step, you can flip the fabric over, right side up, and press again to get rid of that center crease. This is a single fold bias tape. For a double fold, you want to fold inward again along your very first crease, this time the right sides together, and press with an iron. The benefit to making your own tape is that you have more control over the fabric material and the color. Few options for tape are available in store, and it can be cumbersome to find the right color. Hopefully you found this tutorial helpful, and in a future segment, I will show you all how to attach the bias tape to a piece of fabric.
As you can see, today's segment is going to be on one of my favorite things, and that is paint. So many different kinds of paint. As you can see, I have a fairly wide array here. I'm actually standing slightly behind the camera so that I can show these to you up close. The first thing that you will probably see used in cosplay as a general rule on props is spray paint. And of course, these are the ones where the top comes off, and you have a little spray nozzle. Of course, I'm also holding it backwards, like so. Always make sure when using spray paint to point it the correct direction. One of the more popular brands, of course, is Krylon. And one of the things that you'll want to notice whenever you purchase spray paint is that they're rated for indoor or outdoor use. Also, they have different types of finishes. This particular one is a gloss finish. This particular one here has a satin finish. Satin basically just means matte. In the world of spray paint, it means it is not shiny. So if you want something that is shiny, you'll want to, of course, get the gloss finish. They do have a new line that is called the metallic line. These are the ones that are extra shiny that give it a metallic sort of finish. These are for things like sword blades, armor, anything that you want to have a very shiny, very metallic finish. The metallic line for Krylon is actually rated differently now, to where they have several different shades of gold. They have copper, bronze, silver, several different shades of silver now, actually. And the last thing you'll have in the spray family here, this is glaze. This is what makes it shiny if you want to have it shiny but not actually use gloss paint. Glaze is usually transparent. They'll say it's non-yellowing, but you do want to make sure that you test this on some inconspicuous spot on your prop just to make sure, because I have actually had glaze yellow in the past, even though it claims to be non-yellowing. So as with all things, make sure that you test it on your prop first so that it won't end up completely destroying all of your hard work. The next thing we have here these are different types of varnish. This is what you'll use if you're doing a small prop or if you're doing something that requires detail work. These are the ones that you'll paint on by hand. These are not sprayed, which is why you use it on small props. This just makes it shiny. That's all that varnish does. This particular one is just standard varnish. This one is called Sparkle. This one will obviously give it a little bit of a sparkle whenever you paint it on. Both of them dry transparent for the most part. They may have a slight aurora sort of effect to them, depending on the prop and the paint you used underneath. But otherwise, for the most part, they are in fact transparent. The smaller versions of the glaze usually will run you between $3 and $4, depending on the brand that you get. This particular one happens to be Delta Ceram Coat. You can see it up close there. These are one of the more expensive kinds, but I actually prefer Ceram Coat myself, simply because it's one of the thicker brands. You don't have to paint on as many layers, and it will stay thick. Unfortunately, it doesn't water down terribly well, but it does go on thickly when you need it to. So you have spray paint, and you have standard glaze that you use manually. Then you have something called enamel paint. These are oil-based paints, not water-based. And these are what you use if you are afraid something is going to get immersed in water, or if you need a particular kind of effect. Enamel paints are what's normally used on model cars, and model airplanes, and things of that sort. Because both are oil-based, if for some reason you mess up, you can't wash it away with water or with a standard washcloth. It will smear everywhere, and I speak from experience. The only way to remove oil-based paints like enamels, if you ever mess up on your prop, is to specifically get paint thinner or enamel paint remover. Fair warning, enamels do stain clothing really, really quickly. And because it's oil-based, you can't just throw it in the washing machine to get it out. You have to pre-treat it first to make sure that you can get the paint out of clothing if for some reason you spill it on you. So I do recommend that you use an apron or some sort of protective clothing whenever you're painting with enamels. Speaking of clothing, we have paints that are specific to clothing. So if you ever want to paint designs on your cosplay, for example, I did a Jin Uzuki cosplay from Xenosaga, and it's a very intricate tunic that has a bunch of painted designs on it. And so of course what you need to do is to get a paint that's specifically rated for fabric. You can just paint average acrylics onto fabric, but since it's not meant for fabric, chances are very good it will wash off in your first washing. These are meant to be permanent, this here in my hand, because these are actually rated for fabric. It will soak into the fibers. This particular brand is Tulip. Tulip does a lot of paints for fabrics, as that is one of their specialty lines. You can either get it in matte, just like spray paint, or you can get it as glossy. Either way, these are simply applied with a paintbrush, or if you need a lot of paint, you can actually just squeeze it out the top into a little tray. These paints can be combined if you need custom colors. Just make sure that you combine fabric paints together. Don't just use a fabric paint and then mix some acrylic paint in with it. It doesn't always stay on the clothing just because of the acrylic paint. So make sure that if you want to mix custom colors, mix it of the same type, which is fabric paint. This is what's called dimensional fabric paint. It's also known as puffy paint. That's probably the best way of describing it. Basically, it's an odd sort of paint that gives you a textured effect, and it's applied with a little pointed applicator here. That way you can see it. This one is done by Polymark, but Tulip actually has the bigger market for them. It is permanent. Once you put it on, that's it. It doesn't come out if you mess up. You can use Q-tips to really quickly correct mistakes as you're painting, as you go. These are water-soluble, at least until they dry. Once they dry, they're not so soluble. That one I also speak from experience. Be really careful with the black tone in particular. If you make mistakes, it's really hard to get out of fabric. All of the other colors are much easier. But just use a wet Q-tip if you make mistakes initially when you're painting with it. These are standard acrylic paints. These are water-based. They can go on pretty much anything. These are the tacky glue of paints. There are several different brands here. We have Anita's, normal craft paint, standard all-purpose acrylic. We have Folk Art. This one happens to be black licorice, very tasty. We have Apple Barrel, It's made by the Plaid Company. And then, of course, we have the Delta Ceram Coat. These are probably listed in order of their viscosity, their thickness, as I have found Anita's to be fairly thin, and then going up the line to the Delta Ceram Coat being the thickest. That actually won't affect your prop very much if you're painting multiple layers on it. The only difference it makes is the number of layers you have to paint. If the paint is thinner, of course, you're obviously going to need more layers. What can help you get this to be thicker from the get-go is to prime your prop first. You can use gesso for that if you prefer, or you can even use Mod Podge if you would like. Just make sure you use the matte because the gloss will actually show through on some props. But prime your prop first, and then you won't have to do quite so many layers with the acrylic paint. When you paint with these, you just use standard paint brushes. You can get them in the artist section of any hobby store or any craft store. Sometimes you can find them at retailers like Walmart and Target. Depends on your local store and what they carry. I have personally found that it's better to use acrylic-specific bristles, paint brushes that are specifically rated for them, as you will find that paint brushes are actually rated for oils, watercolors, acrylics, and general use. The only difference is the material that they're made of. So if you're going to use acrylic paints, go ahead and get an acrylic-rated paintbrush, as from experience I have found that oil-rated paintbrushes may not necessarily work as well for spreading them around. With acrylics, if you mess up, just rinse the item off with water, or you can just take a damp washcloth or tissue and wipe it off. When you use acrylics on general items, bear in mind that being water-based, unless you seal it with varnish or some sort of sealer, you run the risk, if the item gets wet later, of all of the paint washing off. So do make sure that if you use acrylic paint standard on any item, make sure you seal it first. Some paints actually come as an all-in-one with the paint and the sealer. Those are pretty rare to find, and those are usually only sold in the specialty artist section of hobby stores. But they do exist. They're just a little bit pricier than all of the others. And I do believe that covers the paints for today.
All right. That was the end of today's segments. Thank you very much for watching those.
We definitely have a lot more stuff coming up next week, too. So,
indeed. Next episode, we have a bunch of new stuff. We first have how to store props and costumes as a technique segment. We will have a product review. We're not entirely sure what we're going to do yet, but we'll find something.
It'll Heaven be a, knows product, we have a product, and we will be reviewing it.
Yes. Also, we want to have a roundtable discussion for episode 4. We want you to join us. That would be you. You out there.
With a menacing finger.
We plan to have this. I was trying to do the Uncle Sam thing. We would like you to join us February 19th at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on Skype as our medium of choice. We are going to discuss accuracy versus originality in cosplay. We need 2 to 5 listeners to join us. We would be happy to have you. Send an email to podcast@cospod.org saying that you would like to join us.
So you can,
and we will give you the details.
So we can also sign up on our DeviantArt page, as well as leave us a little tweet back on our Twitter. Or you can go to our Facebook page and like us there and leave a comment. Feel free to comment. If you don't want to join in on the chat, that's fine. But if you want to leave your points of view, that is cool too. We will read them. But just a couple of other options.
And how can they find us on Twitter, Facebook, and DeviantArt?
Oh, good gravy.
Twitter first.
Our Twitter is CosPod. Oh my good lord! It's CosPodcast.
It's at CosPod. Yes, CosPodcast.
I'm never gonna get used to that. Just so you know.
Twitter is at CosPodcast.
Thank you.
Facebook.
Our Facebook page is /CosPod. Can't miss that one up. That one's really easy. And then
DeviantArt
is cospod.deviantart.com.
Indeed. You can also find us on Podcast Alley and on iTunes.
Yep.
Please feel free to rate and review us on iTunes, as that will help us climb the charts and get better visibility. And of course,
like
as always,
on Facebook.
As always, we want to encourage you to like us on Facebook. And we also want to encourage you to tell your friends about us, as we would love to reach a wider listener base. Mm-hmm. And we also, most importantly, would like to thank you all for watching and downloading the show.
Three times.
Hopefully more. Anyways, we will see you on episode 4. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Bye.